Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. Once again, I am here. I am your host, Zachary Smith. And again, I cannot thank you enough for allowing me to come into your homes through your devices here today. I am very excited today because I get to review a very good, very interesting, very odd at points, very annoying at points episode of NXT from this week. Again, I say it every week, but this is a dream come true for me to be able to record a podcast that people actually listen to as opposed to just talking about it to myself because my friends don't care about wrestling. So I am glad that you do, and I'm glad that you listen to me each week. So, as you know, we do generally talk about the news and what's happening in the world of wrestling before we start. And we just have a couple of things to talk about. Last week, I shared some of my opinions, about 10 or 15 minutes worth of them, about WWE callously releasing talent that did nothing but work very hard for them in a time where they absolutely did not need to. Just a couple of additions to that. I've seen a lot of people say that as a business, you still have bottom lines to meet, and you still have to adjust to this global pandemic. Now, that makes sense if you're anybody but the WWE. A couple things I would like to go over just very quickly, if I may, is that, as reported by Dave Meltzer, the WWE, I believe, quarterly dividend came out, and I believe it was him and Brian Meltzer talking about how just that dividend alone, not using any of the WWE's money before that, could have paid all these released people for about 4 years plus. Or, if you wanted to take half of that dividend, don't mean to just completely blow your mind and impress you with my math skills, but if you take half that dividend, you could have paid all those people for 2 years plus, without it mattering too much because it's a quarterly dividend. So, in addition to the fact that Vince McMahon is very rich, in addition to the fact that the WWE is the most successful wrestling company in the world, and in addition to the fact that the WWE lies to you every week and says that we're a family, here we're not just a company or an entertainment venture, we are a family. And they lied when they said that. Because I don't know about you guys, but if I were with my family and there were a pandemic, I wouldn't kick them out of my house so that my electricity bill would be lower when I can still pay it. Point being, these are real people that got released. And these are real people that put their bodies and lives and time away from family on the line for this company. A company that, in the case of a lot of these people, it's not because they were not talented. Everybody on that list was talented. It's that old adage of creative has nothing for you. And I don't know about you, but I think if I hire a bunch of writers, I would think that I'd be able to come up with stories for people who are very good workers. A lot of them were good talkers as well. A lot of them, say Eric Rowan, got great gimmicks over in the WWE. A lot of them, like Drake Maverick, who we'll talk about later, and EC3, got over in other companies as well as NXT. And, as we said last week, all it is Vince McMahon getting bored with his new toys, did nothing with them, and so when it came time to make cuts, which they did not need to do, cannot stress that enough, they decided to send these people home. Some of them with pregnant wives, some of them with kids, some of them single, but certainly a pandemic is not the time you want to lose your job in an industry where there's not a lot of new acquisitions that are going to be happening. The other thing I just want to add to that is that unless something has happened just before I hit record, AEW, Impact, Ring of Honor, New Japan, who's been hit harder with this than anybody, have not released anybody. As a matter of fact, with a lot of those companies, they're still paying their employees because they can, and a lot of them are paying employees, even combat sports organizations are paying employees that are not able to work and have been assured that that is not something that we're going to do with callously releasing people because you're not a good person. So I hear a lot of arguments that this was a business decision, this was this, this was that. This was somebody who is rich and owns a company firing a lot of their great workers because they want their paychecks to be fatter. If you give up half of your dividend, or even a quarter of your dividend, or even a little bit of your dividend, then your pockets aren't lined as much. And Vince McMahon just had to file bankruptcy, if I could speak, on the XFL deal, and needs to make that money back. Well, nobody asked for the XFL back. And nobody but Vince McMahon cared. And Vince McMahon did this because Vince McMahon can't admit defeat on something. And Vince McMahon presumably saw a hole in the market and thought, I can still make this XFL thing work. Because you know, ever since it failed the first time, he's been annoyed by that. And he's thought, oh, I can make it work, pal. Well, you can't. You can't make it work, Vince. Every time you try and do something outside of the WWE, the XFL, the World Bodybuilding Federation, all of these other things, they don't work. So instead of trying to start new businesses, why don't you focus on yours? Or better yet, why don't you go to another business, step down, and let either your son-in-law or somebody else take over who actually will adjust with the times and not wake up one morning and decide, can't believe these people who I don't give any chances don't get over. You gotta get rid of them. Like I said, if I ran a wrestling company, I doubt I could take it to the heights Vince McMahon did. But I bet you what I wouldn't do is release a bunch of good people during a pandemic. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was what a lot of Twitter was talking about, which was from Monday Night Raw and Nia Jax. If you didn't see it, Nia Jax was in a match with Kairi Sane, and there was a spot where she was going to do, I believe it's called a tree slam. It's where a bigger person usually grabs a smaller person by the neck, lifts them up, and then slams them down to the mat. Well, in this case, Nia picked up Kairi Sane and walked her over and just callously chucked her into the corner. Now, from the first angle, it looks like Kairi Sane was about a half inch from snapping her neck on the middle turnbuckle. People have said that from a different angle, it doesn't look as bad, so on and so forth. But Kairi Sane is somebody who just had a big concussion on a pay-per-view when it was her and Asuka versus Becky Lynch and Charlotte. And the problem here is that this is who Nia Jax is. Since coming to the main roster, Nia Jax has been responsible for either injuring people or performing moves in such a way that she clearly does not care about her opponents. And I say that because if you cared about your opponents, you would get better. And all that time she was off, she had opportunities to work and get better, and she clearly didn't. I know that because she doesn't have any new tricks. I know that because she's not better in the ring than she was. She's applauding big man style offense that nobody has ever cared about for even a minute. And instead of adjusting at all or learning to be safe, she grabbed a woman and just chucked her into the corner. That's really my biggest problem with this. You can look at different angles and it can look a certain way. But at the end of the day, wrestlers are giving each other their bodies in order to perform moves. And in order for that to work, you have to be sure that that person is going to take care of you. And what I am sure of, what I am 100% sure of, is that if you are in the ring with Nia Jax, she is not going to do that. I want to say she's 36 years old. This is not a 20-year-old prospect who's still green and was called up too late. This is a poor professional wrestler who clearly does not think she needs to improve and clearly does not think that her opponents are worth protecting. And I would never advocate for somebody to lose their job. I'm not that kind of person. But this person either needs to learn the lesson that you're not actually supposed to kill your opponents in the ring. It's supposed to look like you do. Or she needs to find another occupation where she doesn't have physical contact with people. Because clearly, she cannot handle that. And every time I see her wrestle, I am honest to goodness scared to death for her opponent. Because any move she does, she just throws out there like she could not care less. And one of these days, she is going to seriously hurt somebody in that ring. If I had to place a bet on a career-ending injury to someone, I would put a lot of money on it being Nia Jax that does it. And I don't think there's room for that kind of thing in professional wrestling. When Kairi had that concussion in the tag match, Charlotte clearly either didn't realize it or just went ahead with it and took a lot of liberties with Kairi. Luckily, Becky was there to kind of mitigate some of that, but Charlotte was very unprofessional on that night. The difference is, she isn't known for that. When Seth Rollins was doing the buckle bomb, Finn Balor got hurt and Sting got hurt. Now, Finn Balor's, it looked like it was done correctly. It looks like it's just a move Finn Balor doesn't take often. Took it kind of on one of his shoulders, and that was the injury. For Sting, looks like it just went wrong. You know what happened after that? Seth Rollins stopped doing that move. Generally, when you're hurting people with a move, you stop doing that move. And Nia Jax, in all that time she was off, decided a tree slam, just chucking your opponent like a sack of bad potatoes, is the best way to deliver that move. And again, I am not a professional wrestler, but I guarantee you that's not how you're supposed to do that move. But on to happier things, huh? Let's do some happy stuff. Why don't we? For once on this here NXT podcast. We like to have fun here. We like to yell. We do like that. We like to yell. We like to complain because we are wrestling fans. But we like to have a good time. We're having fun. So let's do it. We open NXT today with two referees in Finn Balor's locker room. Looks like it's been ransacked. Maybe there was an attack. Looks like his stuff has been ransacked. And our announcers tell us that he can't be found. So William Regal has announced that he's not going to be in the main event. Huh? What? So, presumably this is going to be some kind of story going forward, but just for what it was a match that was advertised that was going to be the main event that they're now not doing. So instead of doing this, you could have just not had this be the main event, and then you don't have to do this. And we still, by the end of the show, don't know what happened. They told us to stay tuned to all WWE social media platforms for an update. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to watch TV next week. I'm not checking for updates. But apparently, Finn Balor's not going to be joining us. And somebody took him. And I have a couple ideas who it could be. But we cut right to the Dream in the ring, cutting a promo, basically says sometimes you're just dealing with the same old demons. And I've been stood up. And he's interrupted by Adam Cole, who's finally here in person. And he basically says, "People assume that the winner of the match between you and Finn would have determined the new number one contender. It's convenient that he's nowhere to be found. You're trying to weasel your way into a title match. You'll never be NXT champion. I know exactly what you're doing," implying that it was Dream. And then as Cole is talking on the ramp, the Undisputed Era, minus Kyle O'Reilly, jump Dream in the ring from the back. And then Keith Lee runs down and interrupts, and he starts taking down the members of the Undisputed Era. So he beats them down. He, I want to say, hits the pounce on Adam Cole, who hits Roderick Strong. And the Undisputed Era are back on the ramp retreating. Bobby Fish yelled, "Where do you even come from?" Which was funny. And we're done there. Looks like we're setting up a match. And then WWE played part of the video that Drake Maverick posted on Twitter. I suggest you go and watch it if you haven't seen it. It's basically Drake Maverick, again, having been released during a pandemic despite doing nothing but a good job for the company. I'm going to let that go for right now. But they play this video. They cut out a lot of it. They basically leave the parts about him participating in the tournament and "I have to win." And then it's an actual promo package with him out, and he's basically saying, "This is everything to me now. A lot of people have been hit harder than I have. So I still have a story to tell. This is my life now. I've got 3 matches. I'm not done with this company or this tournament. I'm going out cruiserweight champ." This is weird. Raw was also mentioning Sarah Logan a lot last week, which is also a contract employee that worked very hard for the company that was released during a pandemic. I know I said I was going to let it go, and I lied to you, and I'm sorry about that. I would never lie to you, except that time I just did. But this is a good story if one of two things happen. If Drake Maverick wins the NXT Cruiserweight title and wins this tournament, or if he loses and is just brought to NXT where he can actually wrestle and get away from Vince. If he does these 3 matches, loses all 3, and then is just gone, then this is little more than exploitative, because you wouldn't run a promo package for somebody that's about to be released. So it makes me think I don't think he's going to win the tournament, but I think he's going to have a good showing and get signed to NXT somehow. And he better. So we have Jake Atlas in the ring, and it's followed by Drake Maverick. And Drake looks very intense when he comes down to the ring. I like this Drake Maverick. He hasn't had a lot of opportunity to just be a wrestler. And with this story, he's playing it very well as somebody who needs this. And this is a very good match. As you know, I don't break down matches themselves because I want you to experience them. But it is an excellent match. You forget that Drake Maverick is a very, very good wrestler. And Jake Atlas is very good as well. Basically, we end up with a situation where Jake Atlas is on the top rope. Drake Maverick is bent over on the mat. And Jake Atlas does a cartwheel on the top rope from his hands to his... from his feet to his hands. And then from his hands, he drops down, grabs Drake Maverick, and does a DDT from the top rope with a cartwheel. I've never seen that move before. When I used to do wrestling matches with pins in class, I never even thought of that as a move. That was great. And that was the finish, and it should have been. Atlas's theme starts to play. It's at this point I realize Jake Atlas needs a new theme right now, because that theme's not doing it for me. That's a no from me, dog, on the theme. And so we have 2 matches left for Drake Maverick. And like I said, they better be doing something with him. And Atlas is interviewed at the top, and he basically says, "I'm on top of the world right now," and Drake is walking by with a couple of referees, and He yells out for Drake. Drake! Drake! And Drake looks at him for a second, keeps walking. And Alice says, I feel so bad. I was rooting for him. And then he says, this is just the first match. He says, people are about to know my story. So, we actually have another tournament match. We have Kushida versus Tony Nese. I love this tournament. It's like the Cruiserweight Classic, but it's not Cruiserweight match after Cruiserweight match like the tournament was, so it breaks it up a bit. I love it. And we cut to a Keith Lee promo package, and Keith Lee starts to talk, but then Damian Priest cuts in the video, saying he doesn't care about Keith Lee's life. He says, Keith Lee has granted opportunities to people for the North American title that he knows he can beat. He says, you pick Cameron Grimes, you knew he could beat, you could beat him. You pick Dominic Dijakovic, you knew he could beat him. He says, that triple threat match with me and Dijakovic, that was Regal that picked that, not you. And you still couldn't beat me. He says, I'm the one man that can put limits on you, and I'm going to beat you for the North American title. And this was fine, but at this point, how many opportunities at the North American title is Damian Priest going to get? Like, at a certain point, you lost. And the idea has always been you go to the back of the line after you lose. That's never really been true in WWE. They like to say that, but it's not true. But at this point, it feels like they don't have anybody for Keith Lee to work with, which is not true. They do. And Damian Priest is an excellent professional wrestler, and he's a pretty good promo. But I'm getting a little tired of seeing the same matches over and over with Keith Lee, and I feel like there's more we can be doing with him. Maybe Damian Priest takes the title, and that's Keith Lee moving up to the main roster. I don't know, but whatever. Okay. Damian Priest, Keith Lee again, and Keith Lee's probably going to win. So we have Tony Nese in the ring with Kushida, and he says, you're in the ring with a real cruiserweight now. And this was a really aggressive match by them, with Tony Nese having the strength advantage and hitting hard, and Kushida kicking back and focusing his offense a lot on the arm of Tony Nese for the Sakura lock. And this title feels very important to all these men that are in the tournament, and that's very good for the title. And even the commentators are putting over that winning this title can change somebody's career. And that's good, because the title needs to feel important if you're going to have a tournament for it. And so we end up with basically a top rope Sakuraba lock by Kushida, and then they both flip backwards onto the mat, and somehow he keeps the Sakuraba lock on Tony Nese while falling, and then Kushida wins by submission. Wow. I don't know if I've seen that before or not in a very long time, to come off the top rope and keep the submission in. Kind of reminded me of Kurt Angle, where he would catch you with a submission out of nowhere. And so Kushida has also now scored a win. And then we cut to Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher being interviewed. Matt Riddle says to Thatcher, he says, you're a beautiful man. When I look at your blue eyes, I think a Stallion Pete. And Thatcher says, my eyes are brown. Riddle says, I know. And Riddle says he has plans for next week. Thatcher wants to know what they are. And Riddle just says, trust me, bro. This is an interesting dynamic where Timothy Thatcher isn't quite Pete Dunne level of, I don't want any part of this, but he's just confused by Matt Riddle. I imagine Matt Riddle would be a confusing guy to be around in his character. So I'll be excited to see what they do, because for the time being, Timothy Thatcher is your other half of the NXT Tag Champs. So here we are. And then we get a promo package with, it looks like, Cross and Scarlett, and it's Scarlett saying, we gave you fair warning. It's coming. Everyone needs to know you can't stop it. Doomsday is coming. And then the announcers say that it looks like it was Karrion Kross and Scarlett Don't know why he can't be Killer Cross. Karrion Kross is a weird name, but I guess I've heard worse. And so I'm excited to see what we get from them. And they also said that, you know, Tommaso Ciampa is still not cleared to compete, so that's good to continue that as well. Makes Cross look more vicious, and again, I'm excited to see what they do. And then we get probably the highlight of the night. It's a promo video of Johnny and Candace. It seems like they're at home eating a nice romantic dinner, and it's a shot of them presumably at their wedding with a candle in the background, and Johnny saying, "It was the happiest day of my life." Johnny starts saying, "My career has been a fairy tale." He goes over all of his accomplishments and his title wins and so on and so forth. And then it kind of pans out, and the cup from the match that Candace had in the bag is now in a glass case on the table. And that's such a crazy thing to do, and I love it. And he says, "The NXT I love has become a toxic wasteland." The video goes black and white, and there's a little bit of like a time-lapse delay as he moves. He says it's a little bit creepy. And Candace comes in, and she says she's been unappreciated since she arrived in NXT. She's been the big sister, helping other women, putting other women before herself. But when she needed anyone, and it shows Candace being attacked and so on, when she needed anyone, who was there for her? Nobody. She says, I've let people eat first all this time trying to help. She says, I'm not going to eat second anymore. And she does eat first and says, we're going to take what we deserve from now on. They say, we've been good soldiers while people walk all over us, while these people are given everything and we get table scraps. Is not doing things their way anymore. We tried to fix NXT. We need to tear down NXT and rebuild it in our image. Johnny says, we'll be the first married couple to reign together, with me as the NXT champion and you as the women's champion. And there was more in this. That's just kind of the highlights. It was a great video package. It really gets across that they're heels that think they're baby faces, which are sometimes the best heels. And Candace is great as a heel. Candace is not somebody I could ever really see as a heel. Anybody can be a heel, but Candace felt like a constant baby face, and I was wondering how she was going to come across as a heel, but she's been great. And then there's an Io Shirai video package. She says she's been waiting to face Charlotte while it's playing highlights of Io's career thus far at NXT. She says she wants to show her how great I am. Io says, the castle where the beautiful queen lives, I am destroying. I bow down to no one. And it was another awesome video package. I mean, Charlotte's going to be facing Mia Yim first, presumably. Obviously, Mia Yim's going to lose that match. Kind of feels like a waste of a match in that respect, but whatever, here we are. This is Charlotte's NXT. This is what we're doing. So, whenever we do get to Io Shirai Charlotte, that's going to be great. And then we cut, and Jack Gallagher is making his entrance. He was always one of my favorites from 205 Live. I like guys that are different, and Jack Gallagher is one of the most different guys you're going to come across. And he's definitely got a new look. He's got the tattoos now, which people clowned him for, but I like him. I'm a tattoo guy, so I like him. And I feel like it kind of breaks up. He's kind of a pale guy. See, he kind of breaks it up, makes him look more menacing. And then El Hijo del Fantasma is out next. And I missed last week saying that he's actually formerly King Cuerno from Lucha Underground. He was very, very good there. Had a match against Prince Puma, who's now Ricochet, that I would suggest you go and watch. It's an excellent match. He's an excellent wrestler. He actually wanted to work for the WWE for a long time. And if you remember, a lot of people from Lucha Underground were not being let out of their contracts. Even when there was no plans to go forward with TV, they still wouldn't be released from their contracts, and he finally was, and now he is in NXT. He's the son of Phantasma, so I like the name, and I think he's going to be a great addition to NXT. I hope he doesn't just get pigeonholed in the cruiserweight division, because I feel like he's even better than that. And so we have another really good match here. El Hijo is kind of showing off what he can do in the WWE style, and Jack Gallagher is just a nasty heel. He keeps grabbing at the mask and grabbing at the mask when El Hijo has him set up for moves to get out of them, and that's great heel heat. And eventually, El Hijo catches him with the Samoan driver for the win. And he's adapted, it seems, very, very well to the WWE style. Because if you watch him, and again, I do suggest you do go watch him in Lucha Underground. That's a very different style. It's something I enjoy watching more a lot of the time. But the King Cuerno in Lucha Underground is a lot different than this version we're getting now. And a lot of times guys have trouble adapting to the WWE style, quote unquote. But I feel like he's done a great job. And then Phantasma's interviewed, and he speaks in Spanish for the promo, but I believe he actually speaks English as well, so you won't run into any problems there. Like, if he ever does make it to the main roster, you know Vince is going to have a problem with that, but I believe he speaks English as well. So next we have the Velveteen Dream and Keith Lee versus Adam Cole and Roderick Strong as our main event. Again, this was supposed to be Dream and Balor, but I guess no. Balor's status is still unknown. This is the point where they told me to check all their social media platforms, and I laughed out loud, like I'm gonna go on your Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and try to get updates on Finn. But I'm just gonna watch TV next week because you're gonna tell me. And the end. It's Adam Cole and Strong in the ring. Bobby Fish is outside the ring. And Undisputed Era actually jumps Lee and Dream before the bell. And we go through the match. I believe at some point Bobby Fish is ejected. And you see a shot early on where you're basically looking at a distance at the entrance ramp. And you see Dexter Lumis in the crowd. And I want to say you saw him, was it on Raw? You saw him in the crowd as well. I was talking to somebody on Twitter who pointed that out to me, and I said, I like to think that he's been in the crowd this whole time, and we're just now starting to notice. Like, he's just been, like, he just got done killing a guy, and he's like, well, I mean, I'm here, I might as well take in some wrestling. And so, what we end up with is, Keith Lee's on the outside, and then he's attacked by Damian Priest. Remember Damian Priest? And the fresh new North American title match we're going to have between Damian Priest and Keith Lee. Remember that, guys? It's going to be so good. And Priest hits him with the nightstick a few times, and Keith Lee's basically taken out. So we go to a commercial cut, and it comes back, and it's just... Now it's just the Dream against Cole and Strong because Keith Lee was taken out. And then there's a bit of a beatdown on Dream, double-teaming offense by the Undisputed Era. And then it cuts over and Dexter Lumis is now on the ring apron. And the announcers are confused. Said, ref's being very lenient here. And then Dexter Lumis reaches in for a tag and eventually... Undisputed Era does a good job of cutting off that corner of the ring and not letting him get over there. But eventually, Dexter Lumis is tagged in. And so Dexter Lumis is just in the match. It makes no sense, but I love it. And I love that Lumis is just a crazy dude that's just going to show up whenever. And he's not like a heel or a face necessarily. He's just like, ah, this looks fun. I can beat up a dude. I love beating up dudes. Like, murdering dudes is my favorite thing, obviously. But beating up dudes is a pretty cool second. And so I'm going to just jump in here. And Loomis is in there. He's wrecking the Undisputed Era. And eventually, he does a dive outside onto Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, who it seems also came back out. And Cole is in the ring, and the Dream hits the top rope elbow on Cole to win. And my only note under it was, that was weird, but I loved it. So by the technical rules, it's weird that Dexter Lumis can just walk up, get on the apron, and tag himself in. Like, that shouldn't be allowed. But also, who cares? There's a serial killer who hangs out in the empty crowd to just watch matches and to presumably look for an opportunity to just jump in, because he loves fighting dudes when he's not murdering dudes. So I liked it. It was a great main event. Would I have liked to see the main event that was advertised to me? Yeah, that would have been cool. Sure would have been a cool thing. But as main events go, this was excellent. It was excellent wrestling. And it makes Dexter Lumis feel more important, because now he's in there with Keith Lee and the Undisputed Era, and he's more than holding his own. And that's always good when you can put somebody in a position like that with top guys, and they come through. And so, as far as Finn Balor goes, I don't know if he was kidnapped, I guess. I don't know if that's Dexter Lumis's doing, or he kind of wants to enter into that space. That was my first thought. I don't know if it's Killer Cross or... I don't know who. I doubt it would be Velveteen Dream, because if he's going to go up against Adam Cole, Adam Cole's a heel, so Dream would be a face. So it wouldn't make sense for him to have taken him out. My best guess is Dexter Lumis or Killer Cross. Dexter Lumis would make the most sense if he's going to be a heel, which it seems like he would be, but I don't know. So we're going to have to wait until next week to find out. Or, I'm sorry, you need to tune into all of WWE's social media platforms to find out. Presumably next week, hopefully we'll find out who attacked Finn Balor. I hope it's Dexter Lumis, because Dexter doesn't really have somebody to work with right now, and Finn Balor isn't going to have his match with Walter for a while. So, might as well get them together. I think that would be fantastic. So, that was our episode of NXT for this week. And again, like I said, it's been an excellent run of NXT episodes. They've adjusted well to having no crowd. There were still spots, like there will be every week on every show, where it would have been great to have a crowd just for reactions to different things that people were doing. But that's okay. You know what? We're all having to adjust in these times, and this is what we have to do. Again, like last week I told you, I'm a grocery store worker, and it's been definitely been an adjustment there too, and we're doing everything we can to keep you safe while you're shopping. But you know, just know that a lot of your big chain grocery stores are going to be out of toilet paper or Clorox wipes and so on and so forth. I would suggest calling ahead to see if they have those things. I would also suggest not yelling at employees when we don't have them, because yelling at us isn't going to make it magically appear. But I do sincerely hope everybody stays safe out there, stays smart. Don't turn into like a protester. Just stay smart, use common sense. And the more we stay inside and kind of go with all of these rules, the quicker we can get out of this. But folks, in the meantime, again, I cannot thank you enough for allowing me to come into your homes through your devices. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, my handle is ZachNXT. That's ZachNXT. I have a few friends on there that were kind of talking through different things that are happening not only on NXT, but Raw and SmackDown. I like to think I'm a funny guy on Twitter, but I think I'm a funny guy, but obviously I'm biased. But you know what? Why don't you go follow me and you can decide for yourself if I am. But if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything you'd like to see added or taken out of the show, any segments or anything you particularly want me to talk about in the news segment, I could absolutely do that. You hit me up on Twitter, ZACHNXT. I look forward to hearing from you, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. I've been Zach, you've been great, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.